are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we are, another Locked On Podcast Network Wednesday crossover episode. Brian Peacock here of Locked On 49ers. I'm with Lauren Cox of Locked On Bears. Always a pleasure, Lauren. How are you, sir?
It seems like we've been able to do these quite a bit the last couple of years with the Bears and 49ers coming across each other, and it's always a good time when we get together for these.
Absolutely. You know, I was thinking the last time I talked to you, I think it was last year, but I think we actually in the offseason did. I think you joined me as part of the mock draft where I had, you know, people mocking for their teams, and you had a Bears pick, but I can't remember who you chose in our mock draft for the Bears. It might have been Roquan Smith, actually, now that I think about it, because Roquan wasn't there for the 49ers when the 49ers were picking. I do remember that.
Yeah, probably would have been Roquan, or if there was a top pass rusher still sitting on the board, I might have gone that direction, because that was the pre-Khalil Mack days, but yeah, probably right. Roquan.
Yeah, Khalil Mack, that's a good place to start. He's not bad, huh?
Yeah, you know, that's a worthwhile trade that has certainly paid off, and you know, now he's getting that Pro Bowl nod, adding some nice hardware to this pass rush for the Bears defense, but clearly a defensive player of the year candidate, someone in fringe MVP discussions, at the least among some of the national NFL media, although hard for a non-quarterback to win that nowadays, and clearly just a complete and utter difference maker. And you know, everything you hear about Khalil Mack, all the hyperbole that you might think, it's pretty much all true for how big of an impact he's had on this defense.
Yeah, and I got to imagine, even when he's not collecting sacks, that he's making a huge impact, and offenses have to account for him on every play, right?
Yeah, it's a ripple effect. I mean, it's he taking the right guard and the right tackle and a running back just leaves everybody else with one-on-one pass rushes. So it allows Akeem Hicks to have a Pro Bowl caliber season. It allows Leonard Floyd to start to get his sack total going up, and he just makes everybody else's job easier. And as the pass rush improves, the secondary can be more aggressive, and it starts to lead to all the turnovers that they've had. And then the offense doesn't have to play from behind and feel so much pressure. It really had such a phenomenal effect on this roster.
So now you touched on something there, and I think we've got to get into this because the Pro Bowlers were announced Tuesday, and one of the massive snubs for the 49ers, Kyle Juszczyk made it, George Kittle made it, and I think those are both deserving, but they've got a guy, DeForest Buckner, who has had a great season, 11 sacks so far this year, and I know it's a stacked position in the NFC, but Akeem Hicks is the guy for the Bears that got the nod. So for 49ers fans out there that don't know a lot about Akeem Hicks, why was he a Pro Bowler and DeForest Buckner got the snub?
Well, most Bears fans felt Akeem Hicks should have made the Pro Bowl last season. I think he had 8 sacks to his name and really kind of had his first breakout. But you know, the Bears defense and the Bears as a whole, as a 6-10 team, you know, they didn't get that much, you know, recognition, or 5-11, excuse me, that much recognition, and their defense wasn't so well renowned. And so you come into this season and Akeem Hicks continues to play at or maybe even slightly above the level we saw last year. He's up to 6 sacks now through 14 games and really just making plays in the backfield as a pass rusher and a run defender. He's kind of just continued that on a more prolific platform with a guy like Khalil Mack bringing a lot of attention to what this Bears defense is doing. He's just a consistent interior defensive lineman. He benefited from being listed on that defensive tackle position, I believe, versus the defensive end position on the Pro Bowl, which can kind of bring in some other like 4-3, you know, pass rushers on the end. And the Pro Bowl thing is weird and turns into a popularity contest. And right now, Akeem Hicks is getting that popularity.
And that happens a lot where guys get it the year after they were supposed to get it. And it's actually been a couple of years now for DeForest Buckner where you felt like he could get it. But there's just so many good players at that position. You know, obviously Aaron Donald's going to be in there. And then there's your second cousin, Fletcher Cox, who's got the name recognition as well. So I understand the guys that did make it, and it's tough for DeForest Buckner, and he did get named an alternate. But, it's just such a stacked position. Very good players. Akeem Hicks is very – there was an Akeem Nix, too. Or, no, Hakeem Nix is who I'm thinking of. Yeah, very confusing. Akeem Hicks, very worthy of the award. And most of the time I don't pay attention to those things, the Pro Bowl and – the MVP because it's such a flaw. And the Hall of Fame voting, too, is one of the conversations that people love to get into. I usually don't get involved in it just because it's so weird and there's politics and there's popularity contests and it's like, ah, whatever. I know how I feel about the players, and to me, that's really all that matters.
Yeah, and it's kind of one of those things where, you know, when it goes in favor of a team you root for, it's like, oh, look at how great this Pro Bowl recognition is for all my players. And then as soon as it goes against and your players are snubbed, it's like, ah, well, you know, the Pro Bowl is not that big of a deal anyway. So there's, I think you've seen a lot of Bears fans kind of swing completely in that opposite direction from last year that, you know, with Hicks getting snubbed and really no one making it in recent years for the Bears. Now, all of a sudden, it's a much bigger deal. It's a much bigger honor and a much bigger recognition with all these Bears players in. But I did want to get your take on, you know, the two 49ers that did make it. Obviously, Juszczyk at the fullback position, it's only so much of a limited role. But I think, I don't know if people outside of San Francisco necessarily appreciate just how good George Kittle is. I mean, I'm sure his fantasy owners out right there all have really benefited from that. But I think people in Chicago might think, you know, mid-round pick out of Iowa, he's got some pretty impressive stats. If you haven't watched George Kittle this year, what has been so impressive with him and why has he been able to produce at the level he has?
Well, there's multiple things going on with George Kittle. First of all, and I think the number one thing that gets lost, especially, you know, with the fantasy football numbers, which is probably why he does have the recognition he has, is the fantasy football stuff. But he's a really good blocker, too. So he is a complete player. He's a complete tight end. And actually, the blocking was further along than the receiving coming out of Iowa because they just don't chuck the ball a lot at Iowa. And I actually just read an article recently, I believe it was on The Athletic, and it was scouts. It was John Middlecoff, I believe, was asking scouts about what they thought about Kittle coming out and what they missed on him or what they got right. And basically, they said that out of Iowa, there was a little bit of a rumbling that maybe he didn't have the greatest football character, and they didn't really sell him as this huge impactful player and impactful prospect to teams that were coming to visit Iowa, which is super surprising because the way I see him play is with his hair on fire. He's an animal out there. He does have a little bit of fun, but there was an awesome quote in that article that one of the scouts said, yeah, bad football character at Iowa is good football character in the SEC. So I guess you got to take that kind of stuff with a grain of salt. But when it comes to George Kittle, it's the physicality. It's the way he plays. He just plays all out all the time. And it's the speed. He's got legitimate height, weight, speed. Like his triangle numbers coming out of the combine were right on par with first round tight end O.J. Howard. 6'4", 250, and he ran a 4.52. And he plays with that speed. You see him get the ball in the open field, and he's on pace to set a record for the most yards after catch for a tight end. And he's way ahead of even Travis Kelce in that mark right now this year. So it's a fantastic season. He's a complete player. He plays hard. He fits right in with what Kyle Shanahan likes to do. He can take a short pass the distance. He has 3 70-plus yard receptions this season. So, yeah, he's been everything the 49ers could have wanted, and he's basically the crown jewel right now of the John Lynch of both of his first two drafts as GM of the 49ers. More to get to on this Locked On Podcast Network crossover episode with Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers and Lauren Cox of Locked On Bears. But I got to tell you guys right now about DraftKings because bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs this weekend and all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. How huge? We're talking over $1.5 million in total prizes. One-week fantasy at DraftKings, you choose when to play. Draft a new team every week with no season-long commitments. Some of you might be out of your season-long commitments as far as fantasy football goes, so jump back in. You're in the playoffs again now, weekly here at DraftKings. Just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. No matter what your skill level is, there's a contest waiting for you at DraftKings. So if you've been thinking about trying one-week fantasy football, now is the time to play because nothing makes Football Sunday more exciting than when you have a DraftKings lineup on the line. And you can play free with your first deposit to compete for your share of over $1.5 million in total prizes. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use code LOCKEDON to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for $1.5 million in total prizes. That code is LOCKEDON only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
And how exactly do the 49ers use him? I mean, you say he's a blocker, and I kind of get a general impression from the Kyle Shanahan system of generally what that looks like for people that might not be familiar. You know, is it more the sort of the Gronkowski style of like inline tight end who is just, you're never exactly sure what he's going to do on a play, and he can kind of do a little bit of everything, or do they flex him out at receiver a lot and try and get some of those mismatches that way? And along with that, you know, how do they use him? And then how have teams, what mistakes have teams made against him, and what have teams done to potentially limit him in some matchups?
Well, Kyle Shanahan does a great job, and it was on display against the Seahawks where guys are just wide open. And George Kittle 2 weeks ago against Denver, his 85-yard touchdown, there wasn't anybody within a 10-yard halo of George Kittle. And you know he's a player that defenses are trying to key on. So Kyle Shanahan does a great job of just scheming guys open, but he moves George Kittle all around. He's in line a lot, and he's a very good blocker, but he'll be flexed out. He'll be off the line a little bit. He'll be out as a wide receiver. The other 49ers Pro Bowler, Kyle Juszczyk, you'll see him lined up out wide as a wide receiver at times too. So he definitely moves guys around a lot, uses a lot of motion as well. So you never know where George Kittle is going to be. So I think that's one of the keys. And I think one of the things that Kyle Shanahan likes to do philosophically is he wants to be able to have a base offense on the field that he can throw or pass with equally and have the threat of that. So you can see that with George Kittle. You can see that with Kyle Juszczyk. You could see that with the signing, and we never got to see it on the field this year, in Jerick McKinnon, who's a really good receiver as a running back. And I think that's how he wants to attack teams, is throw his base offense out there, and you don't know how they're going to attack you, and they can be equally good as a run offense or a pass offense. So shout out to Kyle Shanahan, who a lot of people tried to say earlier in the season after a bunch of losses started to pile up that he might be on the hot seat. Yeah, no chance. Kyle Shanahan is definitely not on the hot seat right now. And you can really see, I think, the best evidence of why not is George Kittle's play this season in his offense.
Yeah, it's certainly hard from the outside to see Kyle Shanahan and end up going to who was his third quarterback in Nick Mullins and blame him for an overwhelming amount of the failure from the outside. But you know, the way you describe his offense there, of kind of wanting to be able to do everything with the same kind of base group of people, I think it's a similar description to what Vic Fangio tries to do defensively in Chicago, in terms of, you know, I mean, every team plays mostly out of their nickel package now, but you don't see the Bears make a ton of changes, even in the front seven. They'll rotate a couple different defensive linemen in there at times just to give a breather here and there, and they'll do occasionally a slightly different look in the front if, you know, if they're trying to particularly stop the run in certain situations. But this is a defensive coordinator and a defense that will sit in, you know, the coverages that they like to run. It's single deep. They're not, you know, they'll disguise it a little bit here and there, but they're not going to run a lot of the cover two and the man-to-man underneath or any kind of, you know, major variations. They trust their pass rush to get home, to not allow the quarterback to dissect their coverage over and over again, and they trust their defensive backs here to make plays when they get the opportunity and to cover and to be able to freelance a little bit. And it's what you're starting to see, I think, be a huge difference in Chicago that maybe Shanahan hasn't had enough time to establish it in San Francisco, is just when you have had the same group of people running the same system now for, you know, Fangio's been here for four seasons, a lot of these starters have been here for at least three of them. That's, I think, why you're starting to see this Bears defense take that next step and really emerge as a top three unit in the NFL. And maybe that's where you're still waiting to see a younger and still, I guess, solidifying 49ers team maybe get up to that point.
Right, and we're definitely seeing that with, and I think that's one of the reasons why in year one and two for Kyle Shanahan, the offense has looked so much better in the second half of the year, and it finished so strong, even though Garoppolo had just shown up. Everybody else had played for the full season in his offense, so I think that helped. And he might have simplified things at the end of the season, which might have helped a little bit too in that run that Garoppolo made last year. And then this year you're seeing it with Nick Mullins, who's in his second year in the offense and has obviously done his homework behind the scenes before he got his shot. So when he did get his shot, he was ready. And I think for 49ers fans, they're hoping to see that now on the defensive side of the ball in year two with Robert Saleh, because there was so much miscommunications on defense, and they try to do some exotic things and have a lot of zone coverage and make checks, and you know, guys have to know what's going on, and there's a lot of miscommunications and guys running wide open down the field and people pointing at each other. So I think, you know, ideally Robert Saleh's defense starts to look like Vic Fangio's, whereas people know what's going on and people have been in the system for a couple of years and it starts to get a lot easier. But to your point about Vic Fangio, yeah, 49ers fans are very familiar with him. And that was one of the things with Fangio when he was in San Francisco, is I mean, I don't want to use the term vanilla, but it was not exotic. He didn't like to bring a lot of blitzes. He wanted to let his horses play. And so when I saw Khalil Mack go to the Bears, I thought, oh man, that's just going to help everything so much, because when you can get home without bringing extra pressure and your front four can get there, much like the 49ers were able to with Aldon Smith and Justin Smith and you know, that group that the 49ers had, which was very good, it just makes everything else go on defense and you don't have to overcompensate for anything. And we're seeing that with Fangio. He's got his horses and his defense is sound. And man, that's the Bears, I think, right now are a team to beat, because with what Nagy's got going on offense, and they've got the running game and the dual-headed running backs there with some dynamic Tariq Cohen plays out of the backfield. That's a scary team to face right now. The one question I have, and I would love to hear how this is going right now with the Bears, is Mitch Trubisky. He's had his ups and downs. There was a period of a couple games where you're like, okay, this guy's throwing for 350 yards a game and three touchdowns. He's arrived. He's got his offensive-minded coach now, and he's home. But then maybe some missteps here and there. What's going on with Mitch Trubisky, and will he hold you back, or do you think the Bears are legitimate Super Bowl contenders as currently constructed?
I think in any given Sunday they could beat any team in the NFL as constructed, but there is a lot of volatility with what we've seen from Mitchell Trubisky, particularly as of late. That, you know, he was injured back, I believe, on a Sunday night game against the Vikings late in that one, and he missed a couple games against the Lions and Giants, and then came back against the Rams 2 weeks ago and really struggled and kind of stepped back maybe a little bit to where he had been early on in the season and had to get the wheels rolling again. Then last week against the Packers, came out with one of his most efficient performances of the season. And, you know, he did plenty. You know, he did enough to get the team to the win. It wasn't as though he carried the team, and maybe he's not at the point yet where he can truly put this team on his back and will them to a win individually. I think that's the big question mark that's still kind of lingering with Mitch is, you know, is he that far along in his career? And up to this point, it doesn't seem like he is, but, you know, when you get to the playoffs and you really get in those critical situations, that's when that question is truly going to be answered. But at this point, the Bears have found a very successful formula with, obviously, you know, lights out defensive play, usually turnovers involved, and maybe even defensive or special teams scoring in there. And then offensively, Mitchell Trubisky just needs to take care of the ball, you know, not turn it over, not hurting his team, and just kind of take what the scheme creates for him, what the defense is going to give him, and, you know, move the ball effectively between the 20s. And then execution in the red zone has kind of been one of the big differences this year as to how the Bears offense has just had so much more success, because they're not really running the ball that well. I mean, from a season-long standpoint, they've had some spurts with Jordan Howard, but for the most part, they're an average to below average running team. But from a scheme standpoint, Matt Nagy does a great job of putting Mitch in position to be successful. The receivers do a good job of making plays both before and after the catch to make things easier on Mitch. And then as long as he takes care of the ball and can make a few key throws downfield to mix in, that's always been, or has consistently been, enough to put this Bears team over the top. Even though he's not maybe the reason they win, he's not holding them back either. He's more in efficient game manager mode, and this team is built to be able to win with that.
And, you know, an interesting storyline with this game is that trade that the Bears made to move up to get Mitchell Trubisky in the 2017 draft. And, you know, I think, you know, whether or not he's arrived fully yet, you know, he was only 1 year starter at North Carolina. And I think his actual physical skills and his attributes have maybe been undersold to football fans out there, because he's got a great arm. He's got a great release. He's athletic. I like a lot of the traits that Mitch Trubisky has. So I think, you know, there's a ton of, and I'm sure you can attest to this, but John Fox probably did Mitch Trubisky no favors as his head coach for the beginning of his career. But under Matt Nagy, I think there's a lot to come with Mitch Trubisky, and we may not see that until his second full year under Matt Nagy, which is scary with that defense and the way that team is built right now. So they're built for the long haul, I think, right now, are the Chicago Bears. But that 2017 draft, because the Bears got absolutely crushed for that trade up. And when you look at the 2017 draft right now, besides Mitch Trubisky, you have, what, a Pro Bowl? Did the safety, did he make the Pro Bowl?
Yeah, Eddie Jackson made the Pro Bowl at safety, and Tariq Cohen made the Pro Bowl as the return man. So two Pro Bowlers out of those five draft picks right now.
Yeah, and you have a franchise quarterback on top of it. That's a home run draft. So that just goes to show you, man, the knee-jerk reactions on draft day, day after draft grades, mean jack.
Yeah, there have been a lot of Bears fans have sat on that feeling and that bitterness towards, you know, not all 49ers fans, but there was plenty of that. I think the word that was thrown around was that the Bears were fleeced
yes.
by the 49ers in that trade up. And, you know, it's easy to point to, well, here are the Bears players that have had success and here are the 49ers players that haven't and say, well, the Bears were the winners there. But, you know, it's all about resources at the time. And there was certainly reasons for both teams to want to make that deal. It's that's why they agreed to the deal. And I think both teams left that trade feeling pretty good about what they came out with. And obviously, other circumstances have pretty well affected some of those players' ability to be successful, but I think both teams are still feeling pretty good about what they got out of that deal.
Absolutely. All right, let's take another quick break here, and then let's look at the matchups here and maybe make some predictions. Are you sitting there wondering what to get somebody for Christmas? Well, it's very simple for me. If you know somebody who loves the outdoors, who loves hanging out in the cold or hates cold weather and just wants to stay toasty warm, this episode is sponsored by Action Heat. They make the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat has clothing engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. And Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, and like someone like my wife who just seems to be always cold all the time. Could wrap her up in some Action Heat clothing. They have clothes for men and women. They have all kinds of styles for this winter season, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. And they have gifts for everyone's budget starting at just $39.99. And, of course, as a sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network, we've got a special deal for our listeners to save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon. Or use coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, back again here with the Locked On 49ers Wednesday crossover show. Brian Peacock of Locked On 49ers here along with Lauren Cox of Locked On Bears. So we talked a lot earlier about Vic Fangio's defense and George Kittle. One thing I want to ask you matchup-wise is how do you expect the Bears to match up with and how have they so far this year matched up with tight ends that they're going against?
So as you know, from a Vic Fangio standpoint, it's not the Bears don't seem to necessarily, you know, really key in on a player with, you know, they're going to stick one safety on this player and follow him around everywhere he goes. Or, you know, they're going to make sure one linebacker, they do a good job of, you know, paying key attention to where certain players are lining up. And I think their players recognize where the mismatches can be and that, you know, their safeties will maybe shade slightly to one side of the field if they know where Kittle's going to be. I think we've seen them do similar things earlier this season against other tight ends where they're not, quote unquote, double covering a player or even running necessarily a bracket coverage, but it's more that, you know, when you have a linebacker and a safety both in the middle of the field, they're just going to stay a little bit closer to George Kittle even when another receiver might run near their zone. It's just sort of more attention is going to be paid to a Kittle, and they've done a pretty good job of being able to take away players in that sense. But what's really the key here for the Bears to take away a player like this is that pass rush, believe it or not. That, A, you know, if they can force Kyle Shanahan to leave Kittle in pass protection, maybe a little bit more, or at least have to chip to help Khalil Mack, it just slows Kittle's release from the line of scrimmage and doesn't allow him to necessarily get as much time to run his route and create that separation. But B, if that pass rush can, you know, force Shanahan to have to hurry the throws a little bit more to get his quarterback to hurry the throws and hurry up the offense a little bit more, there's less time for Kittle to get downfield and for those longer plays to develop. And we've seen Vic Fangio very content to let, you know, Jared Goff and company throw the short route, throw the little 3-yard dump off to your tight end, and they'll tackle him for 4 yards, and they'll get you in third and medium and live off that all day. So I think I think it comes back to the pass rush first and foremost, and then you know, individually in coverage, they're going to pay a little bit tighter attention to him than anybody else.
Yeah, and it's going to be another tough task for, you know, obviously Joe Staley, who's been a stalwart for the 49ers, but the rookie Mike McGlinchey, who did a great job a couple of weeks ago against Broncos pass rush and especially Von Miller. And so this is going to be another tough task against Khalil Mack for that for those offensive tackles. And it's going to be a fun one. I love seeing the young guys, and it's been fun the last couple of weeks watching some of the younger players on the 49ers show up, and they're winning games with these guys, and the undrafted quarterback leading the team to victories against some pretty good defenses. So that's been a bright spot to end the season for the 49ers, even though they're ruining their draft status right now in the Nick Bosa Bowl that a lot of 49ers fans were starting to get warm up to the idea of drafting Nick Bosa number one. Not completely out of the question still, but it's looking a little bit more shaky. Hey, Lauren, one more thing I want to ask you about matchup wise is, so Tariq Cohen out of the backfield, who's just a jitterbug, and he kind of trades off games where he goes off and then maybe only has one catch or two catches. I'm looking back at the Bears schedule and going against the same scheme, obviously coached a little bit differently and different personnel, but week two, if you remember all the way back to week two against Seattle, and Cohen didn't have the greatest game, only one catch for 17 yards. Was it just that they hadn't worked him in a lot yet this season, or did that scheme cause troubles for Tariq Cohen?
So I would say a little bit of both. I think the Seahawks were able to match up with him, you know, maybe slightly better than other teams have. Although
Bobby Wagner helps.
Bobby Wagner think was out for that game, but you know, they put Shaquem Griffin on him a little bit, and he was able to keep up with some speed there. Although they still got a little bit out of him, but that was also some struggles from Mitchell Trubisky in that game. It was right after a disappointing week one, and still he wasn't playing quite up at the level that they needed him to in that game. And it was a struggling performance for the team to throw the ball downfield in that. They took a lot of quick curls to Allen Robinson. And that was kind of the Bears' MO this season, is that they'll often kind of like work one receiver into the game plan, at least primarily, and kind of take what that receiver will get. So like early on, it was Allen Robinson the first couple weeks had big games. Then they went to Taylor Gabriel and really taking the top off defenses for some deep throws for a number of games. And they kind of mixed Cohen in there. But, you know, despite him, you know, that was probably his worst game of the season. And in spite of those types of performances, like, it still feels like even when he only has a couple catches, that there hasn't really been many times when he isn't playing some sort of a major factor, whether it's ripping off a 20-yard run that they just need to kind of spark him at one point, or it's the multi-catch games where he's really that true receiving threat. He is the underlying engine of this Bears offense, that they kind of come and go as he goes, and that he is the thing that kind of sparks them to have the success that they've had. So you're wise to point him out as kind of the number one thing to look at. I mean, Allen Robinson has the name recognition, and Taylor Gabriel's had some success, and Trey Burton's the new tight end that they paid from the Eagles to try and kind of add that middle of the field dimension. But this is a Tariq Cohen based offense at this point. His ability to run so much pre-snap motion to help Trubisky identify the coverage, to play wide receiver so regularly and run routes downfield like a receiver. He's kind of their go-to. He's kind of the playmaker that can be, you know, can flip the field and be that true difference maker out there. And that is going to be the challenge for the 49ers, that, you know, Fred Warner and Malcolm Smith, these linebackers in particular, are going to get matched up on him. And, you know, even the safeties too. No one's really found a great way for just one person to do it. But if they really kind of clamp down on him, you know, the Bears can go to other options. They don't like to go to other options. But you have seen when they successfully have Cohen taken away, it does play a pretty significant role on their lack of offensive success.
You mentioned Allen Robinson there, and I know a lot of 49ers fans were excited about the prospects of signing Allen Robinson. How would you grade that signing? And it seemed like they got an injury discount there. And now that he's fully healthy, how's he looking in that offense?
So he's played pretty darn well. I mean they haven't really been, like, he hasn't been a disappointment in any of his, like, individual, you know, I guess, ability, but he maybe isn't quite producing at the numbers you might want. I mean, it's about 55 yards a game and 13 yards per catch, and those are all great, but he is getting paid like a number one wide receiver. So you wouldn't find any Bears fans disappointed in Allen Robinson, but as they've had offensive success, they don't need Allen Robinson to be the 1,400-yard, 14-touchdown receiver he once was in Jacksonville, but he's more than getting the job done. He's been able to create plays downfield and, you know, stretch defenses vertically a little bit and give Trubisky that bigger target to throw to. He just hasn't necessarily dominated all that much, which is fine. You know, they've been The offense has been fine. They haven't needed more from him necessarily, but maybe you would almost still like to see more from him. And maybe some of that's quarterback based with Mitch struggling earlier in the year and Chase Daniel having to start a couple games. But for the most part, there have been few complaints about Allen Robinson. So as we look at this actual matchup here, I was surprised to see that the Bears are only favored by 4 points given how they've played recently. And I know the 49ers are coming off of a couple big wins here, but still a 4-10 team versus what would the Bears be now, 10-4, if I'm not mistaken. Heading into this matchup, I would just think Vegas might see this as farther apart. But instead, here we are merely more than a field goal in this matchup. What are your feelings on how this could go down? Do you think the 49ers have a pretty strong chance at a trap game here, or are you lacking confidence heading into this one?
You know, I haven't had confidence at all, and so now that I gain a little confidence is probably when the 49ers will completely fold. But it was the same last week against the Seahawks. I was surprised that the Seahawks were only favored 3.5 points, and Vegas seems to know something that everybody else doesn't. It's amazing every time. And so if you pick the 49ers, you were a winner last week. And maybe it's the way to go again because the 49ers are playing good. They're at home. And what's interesting about this game is I think it potentially could be so tight. I think the over-under on this one is 42.5 at MyBookie, which is the second lowest over-under in the league aside from the Jaguars-Dolphins game. So it could be tight. Last week, it was the big kick return from Richie James that was the big haymaker blow that I think really propelled the 49ers to that win. And so this week, we'll see if the 49ers can make a big play and avoid giving up some big plays. And they could definitely hang within 4 points of the Bears. But at this point, it's still hard for a team like the 49ers with four wins to beat a team like the Bears that are playing so well right now. So staying within four makes some sense. Beating the Bears is another story. I would say something like 27-21 Bears.
Yeah, I was leaning something pretty similar that I think some Bears fans, I mean, certainly when you win the NFC North and you're on top of the world, the Bears feel invincible right now. But I do think the 49ers will be able to play them tough, that it's not going to be a blowout. I think the 49ers might play them a little bit closer than people think. And I agree with you that that four number isn't actually terrible, you know, as much as I wonder why it's so close. I would lean something pretty low, like a 21-17 or maybe a 24-20 type of a final outcome where it's a nice little back and forth, but both teams make some mistakes and ultimately the Bears pull away at the end. And maybe it's a tied in the third quarter like the Bears have been in too many games this season. But it should be a fun one, and it's not going to be, in theory, it doesn't seem like it should be one of these totally just wasted week 16 games where it's boring and nobody wants to watch it, even though, you know, the 49ers aren't playing for much and the Bears have kind of clinched what they want to clinch. I still think there's some fun storylines in this one, and it's going to be a closer game than their records might suggest.
I totally agree. It's going to be a fun one, and it's another big test for Nick Mullins to see if he can, and this is his biggest test yet, the most complete collection on defense, I think, that he's going to go up against, because they have the pass rush and they have the secondary to back up that pass rush. And so it's going to be a fun one, and we'll see if the 49ers young players can show up for the third straight week.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm glad we're able to do something like this on the Locked On Podcast Network, getting the local experts on both teams. I really appreciate all your 49ers insight, and I really enjoy every time we get to do these.
Absolutely, Lauren, and let's do it again maybe in the off season.
Yeah, I was going to say the playoffs, but we'll get there.
2019 playoffs, we'll do it.
There you go. It'll be the Garoppolo versus Trubisky in the NFC Championship game. We'll be there.
I like it. Let's do it.